This session is called Jazz History, or it could be called the History of Black American Music. And we're going to demonstrate some of it live with the Holden Combo. American jazz actually was born in New Orleans after the freeing of the slaves, and it's a mixture of slave rhythms and slave ideas about music and the French marching band, because as you know, Louisiana was owned by the French at that time, and they had marching bands go through the streets using cornets, clarinets, and trombones. Well, these would end up in the Huck Shop, and when the Black Brothers buried someone who died, they would form this little marching band and march with a dirge-like song, maybe something like this. To the cemetery. And then, after the Black Brother had been buried, they wanted to cheer everybody up. So they would break out into some cheerful kind of music, like when the Saints go marching in. And often they'd be on the back of a pickup truck, which is where you got the designation for the style of trombone playing. They went, dum. It's called tailgate trombone, because you had to let the tailgate down to do that. It's called tailgate trombone. And you had a trombone and a clarinet and a cornet. Louis Armstrong was a cornet player. And actually, he was the first great American jazz soloist. You also had a banjo to keep the rhythm and a tuba to do the bass. Later on, maybe 20 or 30 years later, the tuba was replaced by a string bass and the banjo would be replaced by a guitar. But it started off then with the clarinet, the trumpet, and the trombone. Now, the trumpet would play the tune, and the clarinet would weave fast melody around that, and the trombone would just go dum 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 dum, so on. And then the banjo would strum, and the trombone would just play the bass note, boom, 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 and so on. So that's the way Dixieland music actually got started. It was an outdoor music for funerals, and then got taken over by white musicians. So let's just watch the video for a while, and we start off with a Dixieland group, and see if you can recognize any of the players.
And finally, Louis Armstrong, the great Satchmo. His was a misspent youth. He ended up in the Waits home in New Orleans. Fortunately for him and for the world, that's where Louis would start to play cornet, in that reform school's band. Once he learned, his career assumed a direction that was ever upward. He began with Kid Ory's band. He worked the brothels of Storyville, that's New Orleans' infamous red light district. And he went to Chicago in 1922 to join his idol, King Oliver. And by the mid-20s, Louis formed his own outstanding combo. The first one he called the Hot Five, and later the Hot Seven, with which he recorded a number of classic sides. The recordings widened his reputation so much that by the early 30s, he toured Europe. And by the late 30s, he was even a familiar figure in Hollywood.
These are the blues, nothing but blues, the blues. Oh, they say some people long ago were searching for a different tune, croon, only they can. They only had the rhythm, so they started swinging to and fro. They didn't know just what to do.
That went on. It was non-stop for Satch. Successful recordings, worldwide tours, movies, radios, television, festivals, the whole gamut. And since Louis reached his peak in the 20s and 30s as a trumpeter, plus an all-round entertainer.
Different lines all interweaving, and you have to make sure that your part fits. It's rather exciting in that way. Later on, jazz became mainly a solo voice accompanied by everybody else, which is a very big ego trip for the soloist. Now, the next segment we're going to do is about the big bands. Now, Dixieland kind of grew popular in the Roaring Twenties. You know, the dive-ins, what do they call those places? Speakeasies, where you peeked in the hole and the gangsters let you in, and bathtub gin during the Prohibition. The Roaring Twenties brought about a big boom in Dixieland music. It was hot, it was exciting, it kept up the pace until the crash. Dixieland music, you didn't write music for it. Everybody knew their part, everybody made up their part because it's just a small group. But when it got a little bit, they started adding a saxophone here and a guitar there, and it got a bit unwieldy, you had to start writing music for it. And very soon you had four saxophones, four trumpets, four trombones, and a rhythm section. So you've got four sections of four each. You've got a 16-piece band. And that's called the beginning of the big band era, and of course you had to start writing music for that, or it'd be pandemonium. You can't get 16 people all improvising and making sense. It's just going to be a racket. So you had to organize the sound and start. That's where the arranger came in. Now, the key man in the big band era wasn't actually the soloist, it was the arranger. The arranger's really the star. What made the Glenn Miller band so famous and so big? You know, Moonlight Serenade and Tuxedo Junction. It was his arrangements. They were neat. They were jumpy. They were musical. Glenn Miller was a good arrangement. They made him a captain and head of the Air Force Band through World War II. So the arranger became important, and some of the important arrangers were Duke Ellington, the great black jazz musician, and Count Basie. And Benny Goodman had a good arranger named Fletcher Henderson. So Artie Shaw then had various skilled arrangers write music for his band. Some of the big band names. What were some of the big band names?
The Dorsey Brothers.
The Dorsey Brothers. Who were the Dorsey Brothers?
Tom and Jimmy.
Yeah, they made a movie about Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey. What did Jimmy play?
Saxophone.
Yeah, and what did Tommy play?
Trombone.
What was his signature tune?
I can't remember. I would recognize it if I heard it.
I'm getting sentimental over you.
Right. Paul Whiteman, very big orchestral kind of band. Les Brown and his band of renown. Artie Shaw, Woody Herman, Cab Calloway. Count Basie's band. Stan Kenton. Well, let's just pick two or three of these then and see what big bands were up to. This was the dance era. You went to big ballrooms like the Palomar and the
Thank you.
clarinet. Who was the other big clarinetist of the period?
Benny Goodman, too.
He had a very good band. Who did Artie Shaw marry?
Everyone.
No, Ava Gardner and Kathleen Windsor, the author. And he had six Hollywood wives. Right. So he was... what was his big hit tune? His first very big hit. The demise of the big bands was partly economical. After World War II, it's pretty expensive to take 20 people around the country, and especially if you're going to buy them plane tickets. They all used to ride in a big bus, you know, and pile in the hotel at night time. And they used to use young musicians, and they had a very famous figurehead who made a lot of money. Those were band leaders in those days were big stars. And some of the dances they did were the foxtrot and the jitterbug and the waltz and so on. So those were the dancing days. There were even some places where you paid a dime to dance with a girl, and the girl collected all the dimes and had tickets. Do you remember those places? Anybody? Anybody remember those places?
There's a famous movie on Roseland. There's a movie about it.
There's a movie about that at Roseland, yeah. And they made a movie about the lives of Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey using those two musicians. That you can check that out in the video show. Okay, so that was the big band era, which ended with World War II, and symbolically with the death of Glenn Miller at a young age. His plane disappeared over the Channel on the way to France in 1944. He was running radio broadcasts from London and entertaining the troops. Pity, it was a great loss. But various members of his band continued. By the way, Artie Shaw is still alive today and on a farm in Connecticut and has started up a new band and he's got a clarinet. He's running it for him. Let's see, what's the name of the clarinet?
Dick Johnson.
Yeah, right. Good. Dick Johnson, good musician, alto sax player and clarinet. Anybody heard that band? No? Let's play a Garden Shore
Gold Ring. Yakima 2 years ago.
Yeah. Les Brown was really kind of late, and he didn't come in until about the 40s.
He did the Steve Allen show on broad on TV at night time. So he was the band behind that, rather like Doc Severinsen is today behind the Tonight Show. Okay, so that was the big band era, and Stan Kenton wasn't so much a dance band as a listening man. It was into really modern jazz. All right, now after the war, you had combos. So let's look at some of these combos. A combo is a small group featuring mainly a famous soloist. And the jazz became a little bit less simple than the swing era jazz. It became a bit more complex, using more chords, more fast. It's not so much music for dancing as exciting music.
Thank you. play. Dizzy Gillespie and plays like him. And then something unusual started to happen in the 1970s. Jazz started to mix with all other kinds of music. You had jazz rock, which retained jazz improvisation. That's the heart of jazz, is making it up as you go along. But using rock rhythms. You didn't have the swing rhythm section anymore. You had rhythms just like rock bands have. This kind of rhythm. Those kind of rhythms. With improvisation over the top of that. And one of the people who became popular during that was Grover Washington Jr., a sax player who's right here. And then, after Grover Washington, we're going to have a little peek at somebody who mixes jazz with music from the Caribbean, like reggae and calypso. And he's a sax player named George Howard. So first of all, Grover Washington, and then George Howard. Yeah, that's the play line. Following the different styles. You still have Dixieland around today. You have the Dukes of Dixieland in Las Vegas and groups like Broadway Small Bands are in Seattle right now. You still have some big bands around today. You have Maynard Ferguson leading a big band, a trumpet band. These various jazz styles, bebop, the post-war one, and then gospel jazz, which went back to some simple roots. And Latin jazz, we didn't show an example of that, where they use Latin percussion instruments. Jazz rock, mixed with the rock beat. It's sometimes called fusion music, or crossover music. And then, like this, music from the Caribbean mixed with jazz. And so all of these styles are still proliferating today, and you can follow your own particular bent. According to what style. Now we're going to demonstrate some of the styles now. We'll get the musicians up here and tune up. And we're going to start off with the tune that they used to use to cheer people up after the funeral of a black brother in New Orleans called When the Saints Go Marching In. So, Dixieland music tends to be bright and cheerful. Concomitant with the development of Dixieland was a style of piano playing that went something like this. What's that battle? Boogie boogie piano playing, yeah. And that became very popular, and it's featured mainly by very rugged black piano players in dives at night time. After Boogie Woogie came the Big Band era, thanks Eric, and Count Basie came out with this tune called 1 o'clock Jump that everybody was dancing to. The romantic slow one that everybody used to dance to was his signature tune, Moonlight Serenade. Moonlight Serenade. Thank you. before, and it hurts the heart. So, congratulations, guys. Glenn Miller had a hit record in World War II that had all the GIs jitterbugging, and he went something like this. And then all styles wear out, you know. We had 20 years of Dixieland, 20 years of big bands. So something new came into being. And generally it's the blacks, the black musicians who innovate the new style. And began this eccentric, jagged, fast, technical music called bebop. I'm going to do an example of that. Complexity of that music and its emotionalism and hotness, musicians said, well, we're losing the people. Let's get back to the roots. And so a kind of music developed called gospel jazz, which went back to that hand-clapping, foot-stomping, churchy kind of music. And one of those is called Mercy Mercy. One, two, and three, and four. And then another tune, also derived from the gospel music of the black churches, a tune called The Preacher.
Thank you.
take any turn for actually playing the bossa nova style. There's some styles doing a little bit. And then we get into hot rock music.
Okay.
So here's one right here. Jazz rock or fusion music. You hear a lot of it today with Kenny G.
You play the trap.
And who's the other stars play on the late night show?
Tom Scott,
Grover Washington, and he was the alto player with the hop sound. It's always on Letterman's show, Dave Letterman's show, David Sanborn. All right, so this is called Watermelon Man by the black jazz pianist Herbie Hancock. Dixieland fan. Who likes Dixieland? One, two. Yeah, you know, it's sawdust and spittoon music in the pizza park. And who likes the old big bands, that nostalgic music? The old big bands. A lot of people like the old big bands. Well, where do you go to hear them these days? Just buy the records, huh? You see them advertised on TV. They're all being reissued. The old Bluebird, Artie Shaw records all coming out again. Now what about that bebop music? That's a little suspect, isn't it? Now, is anybody into bebop music?
Yeah.
Bebop music? Yeah. Yeah, it's really musicians' music, music for musicians or artistic people,
yeah.
People that are into their eccentric, it's a minority music, minority taste. You don't dance to it, and it's hard to understand and listen to, but if you like it, I love it, because it's my favorite kind of music. It's the music for musicians, because it's challenging, it's hard, it's fast, and you've got to make it, or you know, you get up there on the bandstand where these guys are good, and it separates the men from the boys. You can't fake it. And then...
Although we're doing a pretty good job. that reminds me, what in the video, every single person who plays this music is a man. Is there any women, are there any women musicians?
That's a good question. I guess it's because... It's because you earn a living at it in these... in bars. And saloons. Most famous jazz musicians that the world respects and admires have to work in places where they're hustling, you pay a cover charge, they clear you out after every set, there's a smell of booze.
There's prostitutes, there's a guy that runs the place that's maybe a racketeer. You know, it's a sleazy world. Which is tough because these people are... jazz is an American music. It's born here on this continent. You know, we ought to sponsor it. The government should say, this is an American music, let's keep it alive, let's support the people who play it, and give them nice concert halls to play in, and so on. But they have to make a grimy living in the back streets of Chicago and so on, in these jazz clubs. Yeah?
Actually, there was an all-woman big band in the 40s that made it pretty big in the southeastern part of the United States.
Yeah, it's the exception rather than the rule. You get some.
They all had women vocalists.
Yes. Anybody know a woman jazz pianist?
Elaine Elias.
There was one, I can't even name.
Yeah, Mary Lou Armstrong was one.
Mary Anderson.
Who?
Mary Anderson.
Yeah, Marion, and then Marion McPartland.
Hockey of 43.
Yeah, right, she has a big band with her husband Lou Tabarkin. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, there's some black women jazz musicians in New York and some, but they're a minority group in jazz. That's because it's a tough living, you know, and I'm not sure that even jazz musicians do it by choice. I got out of it and got into teaching, mainly because of the conditions. I mean, you know, can you blame anybody? Teaching you is you get to go to bed at a reasonable hour. You know, you never see the daylight. And then we came into gospel jazz and other simpler forms of jazz. Who likes gospel jazz? Yeah, it has a nice early earthy feeling to it. And then who likes jazz rock? That hotter stuff, fusion. Oh, some people like it, even older people are like it. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. And Latin jazz and so on. We have music around today called salsa and reggae and so on. What other kinds of jazz have we not covered? Vocal jazz.
Ragtime.
Ragtime? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What was the big tune in the Sting?
The
Entertainer. Who was the guy who made all the piano rolls?
Scott Joplin.
Yeah, that was a very, very famous kind of music in the late 1890s. And where's jazz headed today? There's a lot of experimental jazz called avant-garde jazz or loft jazz. And my personal recommendation is stay away from it. Drive you nuts. But it squeaks and honks and no harmony and it sounds like chaos. But it's very experimental. And I guess you get this in every field. You get this in poetry, you get this in art, you know, spray paint the wall and that's my masterpiece, that sort of thing. Drop cans of paint from a plane on a canvas. So, you know, it all depends on what your definition of music is. Even classical modern music can be very strange, you know, dropping peas on drums and throwing things inside the piano, slamming the piano lid. And knocking on the back of your violin, anything except playing the instrument. And I'm somewhat conservative. I like my music to sound pretty. You know, I look for beauty in music. Other people look for innovation and other things. So it all depends what you want to get out of music. So that kind of brings us to a close. How are we doing on time? Supposed to go to 7:20. How is it?
Almost
7:20. Any more questions or comments? Any input? Yeah.
What was the reason you didn't mention Thelonious Monk?
Thelonious Monk was an eccentric black pianist who was more a composer than a player. He wrote a number of well-known tunes, the most famous of which is called Round About Midnight.
How would you classify Leon Redbone?
I'm sorry, I haven't heard of him.
Retro, weird.
He's a guitarist who sings like thing. He's got a tuba, and he's got.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Bud Light commercial
music. Yeah. Okay. Actually,
he does jazz.
There's a very good black vocalist around who was on the Grammys a lot. Anybody know who it was?
Who wrote?
New Rollins is older now.
He was a good blues singer, black singer. But this is a young guy who does scat singing, you know, of syllables, and imitates instruments instead of the mic. And one of Graham.
Bobby
McFerrin. Raise your hand if you heard of Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah.
If you haven't, look out for him. check a record out of the library or a video out of the video store on Bobby McFerrin. He's an amazing young guy. Very clever musically, and sings beautifully in tune, and imitates all these instruments, and sings like a jazz instrument, scat singing, and so on.
There's a lot of good musicians today that aren't recognized. You
want to name somebody?
I can't name them, but...
Jazz has moved out of the gutter and the brothel into the colleges. Every college, and I've taught in several, has a stage band. And it has a big stage band. Some schools, like North Texas State at Denton and other well-known ones, have five stage bands. Number one lab band, number two lab band, number three lab band, number four. And you're lucky if you make it to number five. And a guy's number one and making records. And he's a college student, so haven't got their degree yet, to get their degree in jazz, playing in big bands, 16-piece bands, like you saw in the big band there. So the big bands are alive and well, but they're in the colleges. And then the colleges are also fostering small group improvisation. So you have jazz combos in the colleges. And that's rather nice because it's a cleaner environment. And it means you've got musicians coming up who can feed into the American mainstream and make a living in jazz on TV and doing jingles and the record industry. There are a lot of good young musicians coming up and they can make a good living in recording and so on. Any other comments, any other input? Well, thank you so much for your attention.
You haven't mentioned Big Spider Back. Can we come?
Oh, Big Spider Back, yeah. There was a movie 30 years ago with Kirk Douglas called Young Man with a Horn. And it was from the book by Dorothy somebody called Young Man with a Horn on the life of Big Spider Back, who was a 27-year-old white trumpet player or cornet player in the Dixieland era, who lived during the Roaring Twenties and died at the age of 29, a martyr's death, you know, the young poetic culture hero. And they made a movie about him.
They're making a new one, and they're making a video, a new story about him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he played with a pretty melodic style, and he was part of the... Who mentioned Paul Whiteman? He was part of the Paul Whiteman band for a while.
He was a composer.
Yeah. So he was a famous white Dixieland musician and composed some songs like Nuages and... what was the other one?
In a Mist,
yeah. Yeah, Big Spider-Man. We tend to ignore the blacks. And we seize on this one hero guy because he's white. That's why we seize on Big Spider Back, because he's white. Okay, well thank you very much for your attention.